And this brings us to an extremely important aspect of the will to power, an aspect that is very important, we may say, in Nietzsche's whole thinking. We can call it the iconoclastic aspect. Nietzsche sees, he sees only too well, that man, as we know him today, at the present stage of evolutionary process, lives in a certain way. That he thinks in a certain way. That he has certain values, certain notions of good and evil. And Nietzsche says, seeing all these things, seeing the way man lives, how he thinks, seeing his values, his ideas of good and evil, Nietzsche says quite categorically, quite peremptorily, that they must all be destroyed. Otherwise, he says, the overman cannot be created, cannot come, cannot be brought into existence. And Nietzsche, we must be clear, is absolutely ruthless, absolutely uncompromising here. He's for shattering, in his own terms, all the old tablets of the law. In fact, he's utterly devastating in the full, in the literal sense of that term. He has no time at all, no time whatever, for the whole of modern civilization and culture. No time for it, that is to say, to the extent that it is the product of the average man, subhuman man, and his subhuman requirements. Nietzsche sees quite clearly, and he says quite emphatically, that it must all go. So this is his ruthless, his uncompromising, his iconoclastic aspect, or the iconoclastic aspect of the will to power. Nietzsche, in fact, we may say, is the greatest critic of itself that the human race, especially the Western section of the human race, has ever produced. We're accustomed to thinking of the Hebrew prophets Amos and Jeremiah and the second Isaiah and so on as terrible enough. But we may say that the Hebrew prophets are mildness itself as compared with Nietzsche. He's absolutely wholesale, absolutely unmitigated in his denunciation of man as we know him and all his works and all his ways. He says simply of them that they must go. They must be transcended, overcome. Otherwise, no overman. Because, as we must emphasize, Nietzsche's ultimate aim is not negative at all. It's positive. His ultimate aim is the creation of the overman. And man, as we know him at present, have him at present, gets in the way of the overman. So man, if the overman is to come, must go. Also, and this is even more important to grasp, when one speaks of negating external values or negating existing values, existing ways, modes of thought, there's no question of negating something external to oneself. It's not a question of going on negating other people because you think that they're not sufficiently like the overman. Oh no, says Nietzsche, it's yourself that you must negate. It's yourself that you must overcome. It's with oneself that one must be ruthless, with oneself that one must be uncompromising. And Nietzsche speaks, he's very fond of using this sort of language, speaks in terms of warfare and battle. And this sort of language, this sort of terminology, has of course been misunderstood. But it's the inner warfare, it's the inner battle that he speaks about. One must fight with oneself. Because as he says in so many words, who is one's worst enemy? One's worst enemy is oneself. So that's the enemy that you really have to overcome. And he who conquers himself has the more glorious victory. Though one may conquer 1,000 men 1,000 times in battle, yet he who conquers himself has the more glorious victory, because it's the self, it's one's own self, one's lower self, one's self as one is here and now, that is the greatest enemy, the greatest obstacle to the creation of the overman. Our quotation, of course, comes from the Dhammapada. Those were the words of the Buddha. And with them, we come back to Buddhism, back to the higher evolution, because it's time that we started making our comparisons.